Faith, the most important component in our walk with God that will lead us to salvation, that is faith. And today we want to take a look at, we want to analyze from the Bible, what is faith? How do we get it? And how does faith affect our lives? Well, if I were to say to you, what does the word faith mean to you? You might say, it's belief. It's belief in something that you believe in your mind and your heart. You might say that is faith. And you would be right. But the Bible also has its definition of faith. If you turn to Hebrews 11, verse 1, please. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Of the faith chapter. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for. We know that God exists. But we don't see God. We know that God exists. We know that God lives in us through His Holy Spirit. We can't see that. But we believe it. We know that the kingdom of God is coming and we're going to be in it. Things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the Bible definition of faith. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So, we must have faith. We cannot please God. We cannot have a relationship with God. And we won't be in the kingdom of God. Faith is the main component of our walk, in our walk to salvation. And so it's impossible to please God without faith. We must believe that He is. Not just in our minds, but in our hearts. In our hearts. And this is interesting. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So if we're seeking Him, and we have faith, and our faith is growing, of course He's going to reward us, right? He's going to reward us by being in the kingdom of God and living forever with Him. Turn to Romans 3 and verse 21, please. Romans 3. Paul writes, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. So we get, by having faith in God, we receive the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We get the righteousness of God. And when God sees us, He doesn't see our sins, He doesn't see our faults, He sees Jesus Christ. And that makes us righteous, because Jesus Christ lives in us. And when we sin, of course, we repent, and we have Jesus Christ, our advocate, who has paid the penalty for us. And the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus is open, is available to all who believe. So belief is the key. Faith is the key. Verse 28, please. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Now, many theologians and preachers, misinterpret this. A man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. All that's saying is that without faith, you cannot be justified. You cannot be justified by just keeping the law. Keeping the law without faith is not going to justify you. This is talking about making right with God, or God making you right with Him, justifying you. You cannot be justified without faith. Without faith. You can't just do it by works. And verse 29, or is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, the Gentiles also. And verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. So nobody's saying we're doing away with the law here. We're just saying that in order to be justified, keeping the Sabbath, keeping the holy days, without faith in God, like the Jews do, without faith in Jesus Christ, which the Jews do, but they don't have faith in Jesus Christ. So that's not going to give them salvation. But you can only be justified through faith in Jesus Christ. But then we're going to see, once we have faith in Jesus Christ, we keep the law. We're not throwing out the law here. This is only a principle in terms of being justified before God. You cannot be justified by the works of the law. It's only by faith in Jesus Christ. But once you are justified, and once you are a believer, then, as we're going to see, we establish the law. We establish the law. You go to James 2, verse 14, please. James 2. James 2. In verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? So you see, once we have faith, we have works. We establish the law. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, I'm praying for you. But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is death. Dead. Faith without works is dead. That's a powerful statement. Faith without works is dead. Because if you don't have works, you don't have faith. You really don't have faith. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. That's how we show our faith. That's how we demonstrate our faith, by our works. If you have God living in you, you have faith through Jesus Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit, you can't help but do good works. Now we're going to be growing in godly character, but we're going to be doing good works. We're going to be caring about people. We're going to have the love of God in us. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. You say belief, you can believe in God, but that doesn't mean that you have faith. That doesn't mean that you are going to have salvation, because even the devils believe and they tremble. But do you want to know, foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect? So Abraham wasn't justified by the works alone, but he obeyed God first, right? He obeyed God. He had faith. He had faith. And then he took his son to sacrifice him, as God said. He had faith. And through his faith was established by his works. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. By the works, the faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Wouldn't you like to be called a friend of God? Wow. You see then that a man is justified by works, and not by faith only. Now, is that contradicting what I read in Romans? No. No. A man is justified by works, but faith is first. Faith is first. If you don't have faith, you can't be justified. You can't be justified if you don't have faith. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. What he's saying here is that when you have faith, then that faith has to be justified by works. By works. And verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. It's not a real faith. It's a dead faith if you don't have works. It's just talking the talk. Just like the body without the spirit, without the Holy Spirit is dead, right? Without the Holy Spirit, the body is dead. You have the walking dead out there. They're walking and they're living in this world, and they're dead until they're dead in the sense of physically, emotionally, and every other way, because they can only be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. and have an opportunity. Thank God for the great white throne judgment, right? If you turn to 1 Peter 5, please. 1 Peter 5. First Peter 1, and verse 5. Peter says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So we're kept by the power of God through faith. And faith is for salvation. It's for salvation. To lead us to salvation. Verse 7. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So our faith is going to be tested. It's going to be tested. And it's precious. So faith is precious. And it's going to be tested by fire. And that, as we go through life, is testified, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, that we endure to the end, and our faith grows, and Jesus will say to us, "Good and faithful, you are a good and faithful servant." Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So faith is going to faith, and the end of your faith is the salvation of your souls, the salvation of your souls. So we've seen by a few scriptures what is faith, and now we want to look into, well, how do we get it? Sounds like something we want, right? To lead to salvation. Well, if you turn to Hebrews 12 and verse 2, Hebrews 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the beginning of our faith, and he's the end of our faith. So we cannot have faith except through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. So how do we get it? Through Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We're Romans 10 and verse 17. Romans 10. Verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Second point, how do we get faith? By hearing the word of God. So right now, the messages that you'll hear today will be building up your faith. As you do your Bible studies at home, we'll be building up your faith. As you're praying to God, that will be building up your faith. As you're walking the walk, that will be building up your faith. So here's the main way we get our faith. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to take in the word of God. The word of God that builds our faith, as we're going to see. Ephesians 2 verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Here's another point we can learn about how do we get faith. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. We can't work up faith. It's a gift of God, and it's by God's grace. For by grace you have been saved. It's by grace, by God's unmerited pardon, by God's mercy. We don't deserve to be saved, but God called us by his grace, and we responded. We responded. And we responded. So faith is a gift of God. And 2 Corinthians 13, please. 2 Corinthians. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. So we just saw how we get faith, but then we have to, you know, do you ever ask yourself the question, do I have faith? Or certainly, do I need more faith? And we all need more faith, don't we? But we have to examine ourselves as to whether we are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. So we have to have faith that Jesus Christ is in us. And we have to examine ourselves. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. So, you know, we can't be complacent. We can't be just sitting there and listening to messages and then, you know, thinking that we're okay. Do we have faith? Do we have faith? Let's examine ourselves. And, you know, I said, well, you know, I have faith, but, you know, it's a little weak. It's weak, or, I need more faith. But we have to examine ourselves. We have to examine ourselves. Do we really believe that Jesus Christ is in us? Do we really believe that Jesus is returning? Do we really believe that we're going to be in the kingdom of God? So, we've seen how do we get, so far we've seen what is faith. How do we get it? Well, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we're saved through faith. It's a gift of God. But we have to examine ourselves. We have to make sure that we're growing in faith. Now, the last point is, how does faith affect our lives? How does faith affect our lives? If you go to Romans 5 and verse 1, please. Paul, bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated by the gospel of God, which he promised before to his prophets in the holy scriptures. Concerning, let's see. Okay, let's go to verse 17. For in it, the just shall live by faith. For in it, the righteousness of God, for I am not ashamed, of verse 6, of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we need to live our lives by faith in God. That's how we need to be living our lives. That's how it affects our life. That's be part of our life. We have to walk the walk. We have to walk the walk. And if you go to Romans 5 and verse 1, please. Therefore, having been justified by faith, again, remember, we're justified by faith, we have, and not works, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we're justified by faith, we have peace. When we're justified by faith, we have peace. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So, we have access by faith into grace. Into God's grace, in which we stand. In other words, as our faith increases, God gives us more grace. He has more mercy on us. And he blesses us more. We have access by faith into God's grace. So our faith needs to be growing. And we need to examine ourselves, as we said before. But the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. We're walking in our beliefs, and we don't let other people deter us. We don't let other people discourage us. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk knowing that Jesus Christ lives in us, that we have the Holy Spirit in us, that we have the love of God in us, that we have the fruit and we have the fruit of the Spirit in us. We don't walk by sight. We don't have to see something in order to say, yes, that's real. We walk by faith. We walk by faith that Jesus Christ is returning. We walk by faith that the kingdom of God is going to be established on the earth. We walk by faith, not by sight. Not by sight. And Galatians 2 and verse 16, please. Galatians 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Okay, again, Paul is reiterating this. Not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith. So when we believe, we're justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be saved. And verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Christ lives in you. Christ lives in me. We're justified by faith, not the law. And through faith, Christ lives in us. He lives in us. And the life which we live, now in the flesh, as Paul says, we live by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So this is our connection to Abraham. We are spiritual Israel. We are, even before Israel, we are children of Abraham. The children of Abraham. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So you see the connection? You have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. And we're connected to all of that. We're connected to all of that because we're connected to Abraham right from the beginning, who was justified by faith. And verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So God promised that we would receive the Holy Spirit through faith. And that promise was given to Abraham, and we have that promise when we have faith in God. As Gentiles. Verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been given by the law. But the scripture has confined all unto sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under God by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. What this is saying is that in the Old Covenant, Israel's righteousness was based on obeying the law. Their righteousness was obeying the law. They kept the Sabbath, they kept the holy days, if they did that, and when they sinned, did they offer their sacrifices, they made their offerings. So righteousness was imputed to ancient Israel, the Old Covenant, if they kept the law. And as it says here, that was a tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So when Jesus Christ came, therefore, and we believed, we're justified by the faith of Abraham, we're justified by our faith in Jesus Christ. We're justified by faith, not the works of the law. But once we have faith, once we have Jesus Christ living in us, we keep the law. We walk in the law. We walk in God's law. And Galatians 3, verse 26. Okay, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So another way that faith affects our lives is that we are sons and daughters of God. We're sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Nobody could be a son or daughter of God if they don't have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So it makes us children of God. And as it says also, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So, how does faith affect our lives? Well, it gives us a shield. It gives us a shield, an invisible shield, like a superhero. We have a shield where we can dodge the darts of the devil and not allow Satan's darts, Satan's mind, Satan's culture to cause us to sin, to cause us to turn the wrong way. The shield of faith, part of the armor of God. So when we have faith, it affects our lives because we're going to be able to discern between good and evil, and we're going to resist the evil, and we're going to walk by faith, not by sight, not by sight. And 2 Thessalonians 1, please, 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. So we see here that Paul is saying that their faith is growing. Their faith is growing. Our faith has to be growing. You know, when we first came into the church and we first were baptized and we had faith, it has to grow. It has to grow. It has to become stronger. It has to become stronger. And verse 11, therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is praying for them that God would count them worthy and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and fulfill the work of faith with power. Fulfill the work of faith. We have a work to do. We have a work to do. The work of faith. We have to be lights to this world. We have to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We have a work to do. We have to have compassion on people. We have to love people. We have to do good works. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, please. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. Paul says, night and day, praying exceedingly, that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. So here he's saying, you know, not everybody has the same faith. Some people are lacking in faith. And I want to come and see you because I want to preach to you. I want you to hear the word of God. I want to perfect what is lacking in your faith. So we can also help others in terms of increasing their faith by being encouraging to them, by helping them to understand the word of God. But the point here is that our faith can be lacking. Our faith can be lacking. And Paul wanted to go to Thessalonica to help them with their faith, those that were lacking. And Colossians 1 and verse 23, please. Colossians 1 and verse 23. Paul says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, which I, Paul, became a minister. So what can we get out of this verse? Continue, if you continue in the faith. We have to continue in the faith. It's not something that's, don't take it for granted. Don't examine yourself. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. A lot of false gospels out there, right? The gospel of the kingdom of God is not what you're hearing, the gospel of health and wealth, the gospel of heaven and hell, the gospel. So there are many, many false gospels out there, many, many false gospels. And we have to not be moved from the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel of the kingdom of God. In 1 Timothy 4, and verse 1, please. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. We can't depart from the faith. Isn't that a scary thing? We shouldn't take our faith for granted. We can depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having our own conscience seared with a hot iron. We can have our conscience seared with a hot iron. Well, it's not going to happen overnight, but we have to examine ourselves, and we can't give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines and false gospels and false teachers. Speaking lies. These people speak lies and hypocrisy. No, we're talking about people that are departing from the faith. They start to speak lies and hypocrisy, and they have their own conscience seared with a hot iron. That means they're not going to be repenting. Their conscience is seared. It's seared. So we have to be sober and realize that some will depart from the faith. It's not the other false gospel. It's not once saved, always saved. That's a false gospel. Did you know you have to work for your salvation? You got to work for it. We have to grow in godly character. We have to develop the mind of Christ. And God gives us the tools. God gives us the tools to do that. First Timothy 6 and verse 10. And why do some people depart from the faith? For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So one thing we have to realize is that the love of money, when we love money and that becomes our pursuit, and that becomes our God, when we love money, it's a root of all kinds of evil. And that can lead us astray. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. You know, we cannot serve God and mammon. But those that serve mammon, you choose to serve mammon, you're going to lose your faith eventually. You're going to lose your faith. And have pierced themselves with many sorrows. We've got to put God first. God will provide for our needs. We have to also learn to be content. We don't have to have that big house that your neighbor has or that big expensive car. We don't have to have that, you know. We have to first seek the kingdom of God and be content with what you have. James 1 and verse 3, please. James 1 and verse 3. James says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So your faith is going to be tested. Your faith is going to be tested. And that produces patience. Maybe you're in a rehab center and, you know, you're going to have, you need a hip operation. And, you know, you're praying, why isn't God healing me? Why do I have to be in this situation? You know, that's a time when that's a trying of your faith, or a loved one passes away, or you lose your job suddenly and your income. It's a trying of your faith. But the trying of your faith produces patience. I heard someone say, you know, if everything was going well all the time, would you really need God? Would you really have faith in God if everything was just rosy all the time? You know, would you think of God as much? But it's when we're going through trials that our faith is tested. We have to have patience. And as it says in verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing, lacking nothing. We always have to remember God loves us. He doesn't want us to suffer. But you know, this world is not the kingdom of God. This world is temporary. The reality is the kingdom of God. When we go through this world, we're going to experience all kinds of problems and trials like everybody else in the world does. And we pray to God that He will heal us and that He will get us through these trials. And He promised to do so, but it's on His timetable, not ours, right? And many times when we're going through trials, there's a reason for it. Either if God wants to use that trial to for you to improve your faith, increase your faith in Him, and to rely on Him. And for others who are praying for you, it's also testing their faith. James 5 and verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So how does faith affect our lives? Well, another way is that we can pray. If we have faith, the prayer of faith will save the sick. When we're praying for people, we have faith, we have a strong faith. You know, God hears us, and God will do what we request. And if someone's sick that we're praying for, according to His will, and according to His timetable. But that's a very, very important way that faith affects our lives. Our prayers. The prayer of faith will save the sick. And 1 Peter 5 and verse 9. 1 Peter 5 and verse 9. Resist him, the devil, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So we can resist the devil through faith, as we said before, put on the armor of God, the shield of faith. So when we have faith, we are able to resist the devil. Who, in verse 8 says, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. And when we're going through trials, just know that other people are going through the same trials. And also, believers are going through trials. And verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So when you go through these trials, and your faith in God is tested, and we keep our faith, and our faith grows, after we've suffered a while, God will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's the promise of God. Now, if we go to Hebrews 11 again, please. And as we said before, Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. If we go to verse 4, these are accounts of people in the Bible who acted through faith. Here's how faith affected their lives. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. So Cain was right. Abel was righteous because he gave a more excellent sacrifice. He knew what was pleasing to God and what God expected. And by faith, he did that. He obeyed God. By faith, Enoch was taken away so he did not see death. And we know that he didn't go to heaven. He was translated somewhere else. But he was taken away, so he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. Well, before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. But without faith, this is a very important scripture, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. You can imagine, it might have taken 100 years to build this ark. You can imagine all the people were laughing at him and ridiculing him, you know, but he had faith. He had faith. He didn't walk by sight. He walked by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. He didn't walk by sight. He walked by faith. God told him to leave his country and just start walking, you know. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He couldn't see that city, but he waited for that city. He had faith. He had faith itself in the salvation of God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, as she bore a child which was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Although at first she laughed, right? But therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. So here he is. He's told by God to kill his son, whom God said, your seed shall be called, meaning that Isaac was supposed to live and have children, and the seed would be innumerable. Concluding that God was able, so he walked by faith, not by sight. Concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, for which he also received him in a figurative sense. So in other words, Abraham had faith. He knew that even if God allowed him to kill Isaac, he had faith that Isaac would be able to make him alive, resurrect Isaac. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of the staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. So Joseph had faith that God's word would be true and that Israel would be freed and leaving. And he didn't want his bones to remain there. He had such faith that, you know, take my bones with you when the time comes. Because he knew it was going to happen. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw it was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. Verse 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. So they did see them in faith. They believed them. The evidence of things not seen. The hope. And were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And we seek a homeland, right? This is not our home. We are ambassadors here. This is not our home. We seek a homeland. And that homeland is the kingdom of God that's going to come here. We seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. And many of the Israelites wanted to return, right? Take us back to Israel. take us back to Egypt, But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And God is preparing a city for us, that new Jerusalem, that new heavens and new earth. That's a city for us, and we're going to dwell forever as spirit beings. Do we believe that? Do we have faith? Do we believe? And 1 John 5 and verse 4, closing scripture, 1 John 4, 5. I know sometimes when I'm singing out there, I like to hear closing scripture. It's not that I don't want to hear the word of God, but sometimes you get a little antsy. 1 John 5 verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith. We are born of God. We can say we're born again, because it's a dual meaning. We're born again because we are converted. We have the Holy Spirit of God. And we're going to be born again when Christ returns, or when we're resurrected and our physical body becomes spiritual body. So whatever is born of God overcomes the world, because this world's going to be burned up. This world in the heavens is going to be burned up. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. This is we cannot have victory without faith. This is the victory that has overcome the world, has overcome Satan, has overcome sin, our faith. So today we saw from the Bible what is faith, and we saw how do we get faith. Well, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are saved through faith. It's a gift of God, and we must examine ourselves. And how does faith affect our lives? Well, we're justified by faith. We're made right in God's eyes by faith. And we need to live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. It becomes our life. We're justified. We are sons of God. We are sons of God and daughters of God through our faith. We use our faith to walk in God's ways and to shield the fiery darts of the devil. We must continue in the faith until the end and examine ourselves. And we also have to be careful that we don't overthrow the faith of others, but build up others' faith. And also, of course, through our prayers, we express our faith. And again, faith is the victory that has overcome the world.